Okay, folks, welcome to Matrix Radio Live. I am your host this evening, Martin Siegel. I'm live in the studio here in Mooresville, North Carolina, broadcasting behind enemy lines. In the studio tonight with Captain Brad Miller, U.S. Army Captain, West Point graduate. The resume is just too long to list. We're glad to have Brad back with us this evening. Brad is, as far as I'm concerned, another Schmedley Butler that we have in the house with us this evening. And if you don't know who he is, you need to take a few minutes and research him and really understand the kind of people that we need to have in our military and in the government to stand up for us. I'm going to let Brad say hello this evening and just give you a little bit more details about his background, where he's coming from, and we're going to touch on a lot of interesting news stories this evening and also get into some of the 9/11 cover-ups tonight. So, Brad, say hi to the people out there tonight.
Okay. Well, hello to everyone out there. Again, my name is Brad Miller, and I'm happy to be here with you tonight, Martin. Thanks for the invite. And I also appreciate that reference to General Smedley Butler, who definitely a very patriotic American who understood exactly what we mean by American ideals. I do think that the one greatest obstacle that we have to the evil that is happening out there and those that are looking for a new world order, the one great obstacle to that is American ideals. And when I say American ideals, I don't necessarily mean the way in which America is headed nowadays, but the good old-fashioned traditional ideals that America used to stand for, and that we should be making a push to get back to the great heritage of this nation.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there, Brad. You know, our country has always been known as the land of the free and the home of the brave, and unfortunately, it has quickly become the land of the coward and the home of the slave. I'm ashamed to say. I talk to people all around the country when I travel, and I constantly get rejected, and I hear them saying things like, "Well, there's nothing we can do about what's going on. We just, you know, have to sit back and let it happen." I know a lot of this, you know, stems from the church as well. Just a little background throughout history: the church has been it's been very rare that anyone in the church has ever stood up and spoken out about any of the tyranny that's gone on throughout the centuries. World War II, the church sat by and did nothing. And even today, we get nothing from the church. And a lot of that has to do with them being 503Cs. And they're basically dictated by the government, you know, what they can and cannot say. And that's really unfortunate today. The church doesn't have to be a 503C. They're just, you know, lied to like everybody else from the government, and kind of think they have to be, but most of our Catholic churches are not. A little tidbit there I thought I'd throw out and let people know that not only do the people of this country need to stand up, but I think we need to hear a strong voice from the church today as well. It's the day after Christmas. I hope everybody had a good Christmas out there. Christmas is a time to give and receive, and I just believe that, you know, I was at the church service last night, and the pastor there was talking about receiving, you know, Jesus into your heart, and what I found interesting is, you know, the Bible says that he came to his own, and his own received him not, they turned him away, and I kind of feel like him at times, you know, when I talk to people and try to inform them about what's happening in our government. I get turned away a lot, and it's just unfortunate, but the truth hurts a lot of times. And we've got a lot of news stories here on our desk. First of all, I'd like to plug our website, matrixministries.com. If you go to our website, you can find a lot of useful information there. You can also contact us through our website. We are taking live calls this evening. If you're listening tonight and want to call in, have something on your heart that you'd like to speak about, we'd like to hear from you. If you have any questions for Captain Brad Miller this evening, he'd be more than happy to talk to you as well. Brad has a lot of insight into what's happening militarily in our government, and he'd be more than happy to inform you the best that he could about any questions you might have. So please give us a call tonight. Our phone numbers are 888-228-4494. And if you're calling in worldwide, you can call us at 877-489-6350. You can also go to bbsradio.com. That's the website. And you can find all the direct call-in numbers there on Station 2 as well. We'd like to hear from you tonight. And also, just once again, I'd like to thank the great crew at BBS Radio for allowing alternative media to come forth. It's very rare that you get a lot of truthful news stories on the mainstream media today. A lot of the things you hear are really spun. And also, our government has been busted many, many times, spending billions of your taxpayer dollars on false news stories. So a lot of what you hear is not truthful. We try to bring the truth in a different light. We read a lot of these news stories, and then we give you our inside intelligence and our opinion on what's really happening. Brad, like myself, are out there in the world every day, and we get to see a lot of what's going on. And not only through business, but through the military as well, you get to see a lot of things up front, and you can tell when what you're being fed is one of the sheeple out there. Okay, we're back here live, Matrix Radio Live. Sorry about the interruption there. Maybe it was the feds trying to tap our phone lines. We don't know. Brad and I were just tossing that around here for a second. But it's always interesting when you're in the middle of a broadcast and all of a sudden your lines go down. And what's funny is it's only the one particular line and not the rest of them, which is very strange. But anyway, we're back here live. And Brad was making some comments here, and I'll let him resume. We were talking about it being Christmas and some other things. So I'm going to let him pick up where he left off. So we're sorry about the inconvenience there. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, you had mentioned Christmas, how Christmas is the time in which we think about both giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very true. One thing, a lot of it down right now, the chips are down. A lot of people find themselves financially in some pretty shaky situations. However, we do need to remember that we should be willing to help out other people. But what I wanted to mention is a lot of people, they do not understand what is socialism. We've just been talking about the bailout.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people can pervert what the meaning behind these bailouts is, because they see the bailouts as a handout, which they are. But they see, the economy's down. A lot of people are not in a very good situation, and the government should do something about that. That's the line of thinking a lot of people have. And that's mistaken. That's someone who does not understand the role of government, because they see it as the government giving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exactly what is happening. So,
hey people, we're back once again. Cut off again. Just be aware of Vonage. We don't broadcast on Vonage ourselves here. We use a system, a company called FiveLinks. And FiveLinks is out of Rochester, New York, and they've got an awesome system. But apparently, on the other end of the equation here, we had some problems. So hopefully we're back live to you and no more interruptions. So, anyway, Brad and I were talking with you here about socialism and, all the companies that are lining up for a piece of the bailout. And, like I said, one of my buddies, had emailed me about his, unemployment benefits being extended. And what you have to understand there is that, that money has to come from somewhere, and it comes out of the, the taxes of the other people that are paying the fund. But what's interesting is all of us are paying that money in, but where does it go? I know last week I read a story about the some internet problems going on this evening, but anyway, we'll do our best to keep you going here and get this information out to you. And we're going to go a little bit over tonight and extend our time since we've been cut off. So continue listening. Again, please feel free to call in and speak with us. We'd like to hear your opinions about how the economy is affecting you and what you think about what's happening out there in the world today. We're trying to stay as positive about things as we can, but with all the stuff that we've been seeing over the past decade or so happening to America here, it's hard to give you a positive spin on everything. Although we know God is in control of it all, we're just doing our best to keep people informed and wake people up out there. So. You know, we were just talking a minute ago while we were off the air here about 9/11, and if we really knew that it was a false flag as soon as it happened. And I've been studying a lot of this stuff and also studying history for quite some time. And when 9/11 did happen, I was pretty well in tune with it, and I knew something wasn't right. The minute that it happened, exactly what, I wasn't sure. And I've had a lot of help filling in the pieces to that puzzle. Mr. Alex Jones, who some of you may be in tune with, he really helped me to put a lot of it together as well. That gentleman, I give him a lot of kudos. He is one of the greatest freedom fighters I believe we have out there for our country, although a lot of people put him down. I believe I'm one of his disciples, and I think that most of the information that he gives is correct. And I'll tell you, the 9/11 attacks, when they happened, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me what I was seeing, with the buildings falling. It was pretty obvious that, they were implosions. Of course, we know that now that the military industrial complex was very heavily involved. And there's just a lot of things that, with common sense, you just can't dispute or deny. When you see pictures of steel beams on the television set that have been cut at 45 degree angles, and you can see that they've been cut, there's no disputing that. I mean, you can't reason that away to terrorist attacks. There's just certain things that you cannot reason away to other things. So we know there's a lot of funny business that went on that day.
Yeah.
And when you see all the different evidence that has come forth and you put it together, there's just no denying that 9/11 definitely had a lot of an inside job written all over it. Exactly how deep it goes, I don't think any of us will know that for many years to come, but I'm convinced, as a regular guy, a U.S. citizen here, that it goes very deep, and a lot of the people at the top made it happen. Because Brad, you being in the military, I'm former military, and there's certain protocol that happens when things like hijackings go on, and we know that the we know that NORAD was ordered to stand down. That has been brought out. People like the head of the FAA testified in front of Congress that he was in the command bunker watching Dick Cheney give the commands. I mean, how can you dispute that? I mean, either guy's lying or he's telling the truth. And as far as I'm concerned, that's not a good good thing to put on your resume, talking bad about the vice president of the United States, unless there's some truth behind it.
Why would you
just come on and do that?
Exactly.
Unless you're trying to lose your job or you're trying to, you know, hurt your career in some form. So these are the kinds of things that just don't make sense to me. So you have to believe there's some truth behind them.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I was going to mention is that, you know, I enjoy hearing your perspective on this. I think I'm much younger as far as putting all this together than you are. You have a lot more time in this than I do. I actually was in my third year at West Point. I just started my first semester of my third year when 9/11 took place. So I was much younger, and also I was at an institution where obviously it would not have been convenient to think of that as a false flag operation, which I did not at the time, and for many years afterwards. It was not until really mid-2007 that I really started putting the pieces together. So after having accepted 9/11 as what we were told it was, which was a terrorist attack from Al-Qaeda, you know, I bought that story for many years, and I spent 12 months in Afghanistan believing that we were fighting the good fight against terrorism over there. Now, because of having believed that, and because of the things that I've uncovered now, I did have to go through a kind of a conversion process, if you will, where I had to kind of figure out what it was that I believed. And I'll tell you, a lot of America right now is in a psychological state of cognitive dissonance because they hear things, they're told things by the media, which sometimes they just accept out of apathy or unwillingness to really uncover the truth. But at the same time, I know that a lot of Americans are told things that it jars with common sense. But at the same time, they can't really uncover the truth.
Right, or
they don't know where to find it, or maybe they're not willing because it would be an inconvenient truth. And, you know, the positions I'm in right now, some of the things that I've come to believe are inconvenient, but you still have to follow that truth. And I would say to those out there that are looking to uncover the truth about what is happening in the world today, what is happening in the United States, what happened on 9/11, if you really look at the evidence, there is no real substantial evidence that supports the officially accepted story of what happened. And that's what I went through. You start uncovering the truth and you realize that all the evidence points to something
else. I'm
a demolitions guy by trade within the military. I've been to demolitions courses. I've studied it. I will freely admit that I don't know everything, and I've never done anything even near the scale that it would take place or that you would have to take down a building of that size. Don't get me wrong. But I do understand very well the fundamental concept behind demolitions and what it takes to bring down a structure or a bridge or what have you. And you're right, there are some telltale signs of implosion. And if you look at the videos, you're going to see what is very obviously explosives that were used inside the building that caused an explosion, mm-hmm. which then caused the two structures to fall at free fall speed.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very well put, Brad. And not only that, not only the visual aspect of the whole thing that happened that day, but there have been many people that have come forth now that were there when the whole thing was happening. Police officers, we have fire chiefs on record that said they saw explosions happening in the building, that they knew Building 7 was coming down, which to me is the biggest smoking gun of the whole the whole charade there. And it just goes on and on. I mean, when you've got people that were there that saw the whole thing happening, and they're coming, architects for 9/11 truth, I mean, you've got 50,000 guys now, roughly, in this group. They're architects and engineers that are coming forth and saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, this can't be. The official story doesn't hold water.
Doesn't hold water. You know? Yeah, it breaks the laws of physics and engineering.
Yeah, exactly, right. And, and I'm an engineer. I work for a company, and I work on engineering projects all the time. And in school, one of the things they taught you as well, Galileo's law of falling bodies, I think, is what you were referring to there. It's a simple mathematical equation that you can calculate the speed at which something falls. You know, if you stand on top of a building with a 10-pound bowling ball, and you drop that bowling ball, and you know the distance from the floor you're standing on to the ground, you can mathematically calculate how fast that bowling ball should hit the ground. Well, this has been done with the World Trade Center buildings, and the calculation that's been done proves that it was a free fall, that there was nothing underneath those floors holding them up as they fell. So that right there should be enough of a smoking gun to make people stop and think, well, you know, maybe everything we're being told isn't the truth here.
Because the official story would have you believe that that the building pancaked from the point of impact,
where
Blaine's words, that they pancaked, but that can't be true, because then the building would not be falling at free fall speed, because the floors above the point of impact would be pancaking floor by floor by floor. And even if that happens very rapidly, as soon as there's a point at which it stops, it has to re-accelerate all over again. And it would not fall anywhere. It would take much, much longer than the free fall speed. And if you look at the videos, and you just take your own watch and you kind of count it down, looking at any one of the videos of the implosions, really, and the subsequent collapses, if you look, it's gonna take about 10 or 11 seconds for each of the towers to fall, which is very close to free fall speed. When you mix in, you know, a little bit of resistance here and there, but it's free fall speed as opposed to the probably 60 plus seconds that it would take to fall if it had actually pancaked.
Right, exactly. And also, the way that they fell, you know, everything was pretty much in a neat little package at the bottom.
Fell into its own footprint.
And what's so amazing is that when the first building began to fall, you can see the whole upper half of the building is actually leaned over and started to fall off the top of the building, but then all of a sudden it just disintegrated in thin air, you know, which to me is just amazing. I mean, there should have been a lot of that rubble and big pieces on the ground, and it wasn't there. And then also, you know, you've got Rudy Giuliani the next day sealing off the area and getting rid of all the evidence. You know,
right.
I mean, what's the...
And that evidence
what's going on with that?
went to China.
Yeah, absolutely. And Giuliani, you know, he knows a little bit something about being a crime scene investigator. You know, he's studied law and has prosecuted many cases in New York City. So he knows a little bit something about, you know, maintaining the integrity of a crime scene. You know, so what's with him removing all the evidence and getting rid of it so quick? And there's tons of evidence. I mean, it amounts and amounts and amounts. Let's say that 90% of the evidence is false and doesn't hold water. Well, then there's at least 10% of it that does, and that 10% you've at least got to look at and use common sense, and you got to say, hey, something's wrong. We're not being told the entire truth about what happened on that day. And then when you study history as well, you know, you go back throughout history and time again, you will find that things like this have been done, not only by our government, but by many other governments, that they use this to their advantage to get what they want. You know, they use it to pass laws so that these dictators can basically take countries over and run them the way that they want to.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned Rudy Giuliani, because he obviously had to have been in on the scam. And, you know, when you really put the pieces together and you think, what kind of promises was he offered for being in on this? You know, he was offered because I'll tell you, you know, I firmly believe that Rudy Giuliani was originally the one that the powers that be wanted to be the president. It just didn't happen. I remember seeing all these polls leading up to the primaries that had Rudy Giuliani way out in front of the other Republican primary candidates. But then, as soon as the results are coming back in, as soon as the votes are taking place in the primaries, he's consistently coming in even behind Ron Paul.
Yeah,
coming in, you know, 5% of the votes here, 7% of the votes here. Why were we told in the original polls that he had 30% of backing from Republican candidates? And then in the end, even the powers that be weren't powerful enough to actually sell us Rudy Giuliani.
Who he was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a thing that, a big factor, Brad, I think that took place was a lot of the police officers and the firemen that worked in New York City on that day basically came forth. I remember, you know, that there's a couple strong groups in New York City that came out against Rudy Giuliani and basically said, hey, look, we're the police officers that were there that day, and Giuliani did nothing to help us. They had bogus, the firefighters had bogus radios that they were using, that Giuliani actually, the city was supposed to get the new radios, and the radios they were using that day were ineffective, that half of them didn't work. They were having all kinds of communication problems on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the things that Giuliani had promised these guys prior to all this stuff happening was just a lie. It didn't happen for them. And they had a lot of problems on that day. Then you have things happening like the air quality of the city. These guys were told that the air was safe to breathe, that they could go back in the city and work and not have to worry about the quality of the air. So there's just so many things that happened that just really shot these guys down. A lot of them have died since that day. There's a lot of them out there that are sick, and they're not being taken care of by the city. And, you know, you've got all that thrown into the mix as well. I mean, you know, yeah, the people that were there trying to save people's lives, the true Americans that we know were standing up that day to do the right thing, are not being taken care of. So, again, it goes back to, you know, who do you believe? You know, do you believe the real patriots that were there doing the right thing? Or do you believe these dictators that are in power that always seem to, you know, magically screw everything up and find a way to allow the good guys to fall? You know, that's what you have to look at. I think it's very obvious who's doing the right thing and who's doing the wrong thing. You know, I mean, my 6-year-old could figure this out. You know.
And I think it's important that we draw the distinction that just because someone may question what actually happened that day and who caused that, in no way are we insinuating that the police and the firefighters who were there that day and who lost their lives that day are not heroes, because they are epitome of American heroes. I believe that there were 343, if memory serves me correctly, of the fire department in New York that perished that day alone. And, you know, American heroes. And then you fast forward to, 7+ years later, and we have many of these individuals who have since perished because of the effects of the air that they breathe or injuries that they suffered that day. Their families are not being taken care of. Others are in very, very poor health. They're not being taken care of. If you look at the flip side of that coin, if you look at veterans of the armed forces that are coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan injured, and many of them, what kind of physical care are they receiving? What kind of medical treatment are they receiving? Many stories have come out about Walter Reed and his state of the military hospitals that we have in the nation, and the lack of care that these veterans are receiving. It's the exact same thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And the Gulf War syndrome.
Absolutely.
As well, the same type of issue. You know, you've got people like Dr. Doug Rourke, who was in charge of cleaning up, or writing all the manuals, I should say, to clean up after the war over there with all the depleted uranium rounds that are in the ground over there. And even he himself is 40% disabled from the depleted uranium. You know, you've got a guy like him coming forth that's saying, hey, what happened over there was wrong as far as what they did with using these type of weapons to allow the troops to actually get involved and get close to that type of thing. You know, because a lot of these guys are sick, like you said, they're in hospitals, they're not being taken care of properly, they're not given the proper treatment and care. They are true heroes. I totally agree. I mean, you know, what more can you give but your life?
Right.
If you're giving your life in order to save others and help other people, now what more can you give? But the thing I think that enrages me so much, Brad, is that to do that, you know, over a lie, I think that's what makes me so mad about it. You know, man, I would happily give my life for another, but I would want to know that it was for the right reason.
Sure, you know? Absolutely.
I would not want to go into a situation and put myself in harm's way like that and know that the people that sent me there were lying to me just to get what they wanted.
Did not have your best interest in mind.
Absolutely, you know, and it's never those guys that are the ones on the front lines that are facing, you know, all the turmoil and tragedy that. Okay, we have a caller this evening. Hello, you're live on Matrix Radio Live. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Mark, this is Justin Brady.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing great.
That's good. Where are you this evening? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it there with you tonight, but I heard you talking about Nutter.
Hello? Okay, well, apparently we lost Justin here. I'm sure he'll call back in a minute.
I don't know what happened to him, but, yeah.
Okay. Well, we've been having a few technical issues this evening. Maybe Justin's having some, too, so. But that's okay. As long as we're getting the word out to people, that's all that really matters here.
Well, one thing is, as you mentioned that, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And whether we're talking about 9/11, which, again, the big issue is not 9/11. 9/11 is a symptom of a much, much, much larger global problem. And people have got to realize that there are a lot of 9/11 truth enthusiasts, and that's great, but you can't stop there. For many, that is kind of a catalyst that has opened the can of worms.
Sure, yeah.
In my case, that was what happened through 9/11.
Yeah, there has to be a starting point.
Yeah, I put more pieces together to realize what is happening on a much larger level, but I really think that, you know, a lot of people ask the question, you know, well, you know, what can I do? What can I do? I think there are three steps. The first is self-education. You gotta know where to look. You gotta look in the right places. You gotta have an analytic mind. You gotta question. You gotta be skeptical about officially accepted theories or mainstream media and what you're told. You gotta educate yourself first. That process never ends.
Right.
The second is educating others. You know, once you know and you're putting the pieces together, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be an expert. But you do have to educate others. That is a moral obligation that we all have.
Yeah, I agree.
And then as you do that, once you're educated, you're helping other people to become educated on these matters, you got to take action. And there's an infinity of things that you can do there. A lot of people think that it's hopeless to write a letter to your congressional representative or a senator or whoever, or send them an email. And you know what? Maybe they'll listen, maybe they won't. But you're at least doing your part if you are standing up, because that congressional representative works for you.
Right.
He represents you. And if you get in touch with him, you're forcing him to take responsibility and stand up to you. You're basically his client. And so you can do that. You can call in on radio stations like this. Even as far as, or something as insignificant, seemingly, putting a bumper sticker on your car or anything of that nature,
right,
just
sure.
To get the message out, talk to people about it, and don't be ashamed.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there, Brad. Justin, are you back with us?
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got disconnected. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. But,
We've had a few technical difficulties going on this evening, but so far things seem to be much better now. So go ahead, Justin.
Well, I just want to say I couldn't join you tonight. I just had some last minute things that have come up, kind of busy with the holidays. I want to tell you Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas to the listeners, and I hate that I couldn't get in tonight. However, I did hear you talking about 9/11, and you didn't mention something that I think is real important. I know people tend to focus on the North and South towers, and that gives them, I mean, the American people did see jets hit both of those towers. So,
sure.
Even with the great evidence that both of you and Brad gave tonight, with the free fall speeds and all that, people may still try to refute that because they did see a plane fly into the buildings. And make no mistake, what you said is completely true, and those buildings were brought down by people other than the terrorists, or supposedly terrorists, or the story that they gave us. But I think it's real important that we've mentioned World Trade Center number 7. That building was hit by no terrorist at all. That building was not hit by a plane. That building, I mean, that, if you watch the video of building number 7 collapse, you're left with no other explanation but an implosion.
Yeah, it definitely was, and there's been many of the workers that were there that day, too, that have come forth and said they knew the building was going to fall prior to it happening. And then also, too, what about, I don't know if you saw the evidence of the BBC report, Justin, but when the BBC was reporting that Building 7 had fallen, they had a live video feed behind the reporter's head that was a picture of downtown Manhattan, and Building 7 was still standing behind the reporter's head for 20 minutes while he was reporting the story that the building had already fallen. So, you know, you see things like this going on, that they're being fed news stories that they're reading that just aren't true. I mean, how did they get the story that Building 7 had fallen already, and they're reporting it on the air, but the building is still standing there on a live video feed right behind the reporter's head? You know, it's something that doesn't make any sense.
Not only that, they also have, now this is recorded, I mean, this is a recording, it's a video, it was an interview for Larry Silverstein. Larry Silverstein had the lease on building number 7, and it's recorded live.
Yeah.
Now you can find this, you can access this video on the internet. He said himself that they decided to pull the building. In other words, pulling means that they decided to level the building. Now that's documented on videotape of him actually saying that.
Yeah.
And, if that doesn't give it away, I don't know what would.
Right. Go ahead, Brad.
It's interesting that you mentioned the BBC report. I believe it was also BBC who originally came out with the report very, very shortly after 9/11. But they came out and explained that at least 5 of these supposed 19 hijackers were still alive.
Right, yeah.
And living in various countries in Northern Africa or in the Middle East again. You know, it was very shortly after, I believe, within 1 or 2 days, seemingly, the intel apparatus in the United States went from knowing nothing that would have allowed us to supposedly counteract this event, but yet within 24 to 48 hours of it happening, we had an entire list of who exactly was doing it.
It doesn't
add up. Another thing that I wanted to point out, Justin mentioned Building 7, which is interesting in and of itself. Another thing that is very interesting is what exactly happened in D.C. at the Pentagon. Here we have two buildings, really in reality three, but we have the North and South Tower, which have fallen, and then within less than an hour and a half, we have another plane supposedly which hit arguably the most defended building in the free world, if not in the world.
Yeah.
So we've had, you know, a terrorist attack, two buildings, you know, with the significance that they hold, the World Trade Center, North and South Towers. And then, supposedly, the airspace is locked down all around D.C., yet somehow we have a plane that slips in and is able to attack, again, the Pentagon.
Exactly. And also a plane that we've never seen.
A plane that we have never seen. Unlike, like Justin mentioned, the plane that did hit the tower.
Yeah, right. You know, the most well-defended building on the face of the earth,
yeah.
Have you been to the Pentagon, Brad?
Yes, I have. Security is unreal there. It's unreal. And yet you're going to tell me that we have what they're calling a terrorist attack on American soil, and yet more than an hour goes by before this next attack supposedly occurs, and they can't find a way to, to keep it from happening.
Sure. And the precise area that the so-called plane struck the Pentagon was an area that was almost empty.
Mm-hmm.
No personnel there to speak of. There were a few people in the area, and it was one that was being, it was an area that was being worked on at the time as well. So it's interesting, you know, I mean, if I was a terrorist and was planning something like this, I think I would try to get things right, you know.
Well, Martin, if you were in Paris and you had enough intel to be able to plan this and to be able to accurately take down the North Tower,
yeah,
the South Tower, and hit the Pentagon, you would think that if you were able to generate all that intel and plan and coordinate resource and execute this mission that successfully, you
yeah
would think you would
yeah
also have been able to tell which side of the Pentagon to hit to do the most damage.
Sure.
Where was the Secretary of Defense? Where was his office located? Where were the most high-ranking officials located? Because if I'm a terrorist and I'm going to hit the Pentagon, let me make sure that I'm doing the most damage.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. That again, you know, doesn't make any sense to me. Why, you know, why would these guys not go an extra mile and find that information out? You know.
Right.
It just makes no sense. And then, you know, there's so many other smoking guns. You know, you were mentioning Larry Silverstein there, Justin. Larry, he just came out, you know, with flying colors on the whole deal with the investment that he made. You know, he had, prior to 9/11, had purchased, he purchased the lease on the entire World Trade Complex. And that took place roughly about two and a half months prior to all this happening. And Larry made a financial investment. I believe it was about $15 million of hard cash that he put down as a deposit on all the buildings. Then he turned around and took out a insurance policy on the building for $7.5 billion that specifically included acts of terrorism. Now, that was written into the policy. So that there is another smoking gun, you know, just the fact that he would want to make sure. Well, you know, I mean, we know the buildings were attacked previously, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But
you put that next to but there's so many smoking guns, like you mentioned, even the spike in put option.
Yeah.
In the days directly prior to September
11th. Exactly. And then, you know, also, you've got a lot of other things happening in the mix, too, that were not directly related to all these guys. You know, you've got, like, I remember prior to 9/11, about 2 months prior to 9/11, there's a rap group called The Coup. I don't know if you guys have heard of The Coup or not. They're a group that I believe Paris has been involved with them very heavily in producing their music. But what I found interesting was The Coup came out with a CD a couple months prior to 9/11 happening that had the Twin Towers on the CD cover, and both of the towers were exploding on the CD cover in both the places where the planes hit, which I found very interesting, you know. And which made it even more exciting was that right after 9/11 happened, they pulled all the records off the shelf and we're not selling them any longer. So, but I do remember seeing the CD with the cover and the Trade Towers.
And they pulled them off the shelves again before 9/11 happened?
No, right after the attacks happened. The record label pulled them all off. But I found it very interesting that, you know, it was identical to what happened. Also, the local sheriff's department were given training manual on counterterrorism, and I've got it on my computer here. I'll show it to you after the show here, Brad. But what's so interesting is the cover of these training manuals that this local sheriff's departments were given have the World Trade Complex on the cover, and this was done, you know, quite a few months prior to the attacks happening, and they have crosshairs on the Trade Center complex, which is just amazing. So there's a lot of things that, you know, just don't add up and don't make sense. You know, why would all this stuff be going on top of everything else? But you know, I mean, just look at the general, you know, the general evidence that's out there, and you really can't dispute what happened. I don't think. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, I think my 6-year-old could probably put most of it together. You know, it's just a lot of it's just common sense, but there's so much. What else? What else do we have? We've got the president's little brother running
right
security
right
on the whole Trade Center complex prior to all this happening as well. Marvin Bush, you know, he was the CEO of Securicom, who for 2 years prior to the attacks happening was in charge of security on the Trade Center complex.
I think it's also, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
I think it's also important to mention that all the bomb dolls were removed from that building. I think it was like a week or two prior to the attacks.
Yeah, absolutely they were. That's been very well documented that all the security in the building was shut down the entire weekend before the attacks. Not only was it the physical security, but it was also the electronic surveillance security that was shut down too.
And talking about that, I'll tell you, just from my experience, stateside and also overseas, that is very, very significant that they would have had to have removed those dogs. Because I'll tell you, sometimes the best tool you have when you're trying to detect explosives is the dog. The dog never fails you. And so that's something that we use. When I was overseas in Afghanistan, and it's something that there's no way they would have gotten those explosives past those dogs. They would have had to remove those dogs from the premises in order to get the explosives in to make 9/11 happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so true that, you just put it all together, Justin, and it just doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't add up at all. It's ridiculous. I mean, and like Brad was saying, I mean, the doll does not fail. Actually, they're more foolproof than technology. I mean, their notice does not fail them at all. How convenient that they were pulled away from the building 2 weeks prior to the attack, or a week and a half prior to the attack. Anyways, it was shortly before the attack. And, like Brad said, you could not have pulled this off if those dogs would have been there, because they would have smelled those explosives that were put into the building.
Sure.
You know what they say, just talking about that, I own dogs. I've never trained dogs in the military, but I've been around plenty of people who have.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you talk about dogs, you talk about explosives, or even drugs for that matter, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to fool a dog. Because, they always use the example of spaghetti. When you walk into a kitchen and someone's making spaghetti, you smell spaghetti. A dog smells the oregano, the tomato, the noodles. He smells all the individual ingredients.
Sure.
And so, you take rotten eggs and you try and throw them on top of drugs, on top of explosives to fool the dog. All he does is he smells the explosives and the rotten eggs. You can't fool him. Another thing that I was going to add was the Afghanistan connection, the Bin Laden connection. We had a couple months after 9/11, the very end of 2001, you had these tapes that supposedly were captured in Afghanistan in the caves that were a supposed confession.
Right. Yeah.
And later basically were completely invalidated. They weren't, and that was not Bin Laden, and it was not a real authentic confession tape.
Sure. Absolutely. Bin Laden has been basically forgotten about now.
Right.
Where is he? I've heard stories and reports too that he's dead. I don't know how well substantiated that is, but there have been reports now that that he's no longer alive. We know that he actually worked with the CIA for a long time prior to all this happening. We know that the Bush family has very strong ties to the Bin Laden family. There's just so many connections there, and the Saudis. The connections are just unbelievable. With the Bin Laden family and the Bush family. That's pretty hard to do too. So, you got them hanging out with each other, and then it's just amazing that they would accuse the guy that was having major. It was reported that he had major health problems
right.
a month prior to all this happening. It was actually in a hospital over in France, and was visited by the CIA a month prior to all this taking place.
What also amazes me is as you and I sit here, Mark, and we're speaking, we have Justin on the line, and in the last couple of minutes, we've probably thrown out 8 or 9 pieces of the 9/11 puzzle that do not make sense.
Right.
Any one of those individually would raise eyebrows, but all of them collectively, and what are you left with? And I would challenge the listeners out there that, if they're thinking about this and some of the things that we're saying, they're kind of questioning, or maybe they've never really thought about this, maybe they're hearing some of these things for the first time, I would say you have to investigate it on your own, because my question is, where's the counter evidence? Where's the evidence that that disproves what we're saying?
And, sure, yeah.
And then verifies the officially accepted story. Because when you really look, there's not a whole lot of supporting evidence.
Yeah. Well, the only real evidence that I've heard supporting the other side of the argument, Brad, is that if you don't believe them, you're not an American.
Exactly.
You're un-American. If you don't believe the official story, then, you know, you must be a terrorist supporter.
You're with us or you're with them?
Yeah.
You're with us or against it.
And, you know, what's so amazing is that that's the same thing that happened all throughout history. You know, Mussolini, Hitler, all these guys gave speeches that basically said you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You know, and what I find so amazing is how uneducated the American people are about history. You know, I don't even consider myself that well educated on history, but, you know, when I look at, you know, the probably the other 90% of the people that I know, talking to them, you know, just on a nonchalant basis about history, it just amazes me how little people really know about history and past events that have happened, you know. So it's no wonder it's so easy for these guys to get away with what they're getting away with, and so easy for them to pull the wool over everybody's eyes, because the people just are not educated to what's happened.
Well, if we look at education, there's been, and you and I both have, because we've talked about this before, the book out there written by Charlotte Thompson Isterbitt, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, in which there has been a contrived watering down of American education, and the end result is you have an individual, an adult, who really does not have the critical thinking skills, the analytical skills, or even the educational forte to be able to put all these pieces together. See, what they want is to have someone who just accepts, someone who sits on their couch and just receives output from the TV, whether it's sitcoms or whether it's the evening news, transmits an accepted message that has kind of already been run through the machine to make sure that it's gonna broadcast exactly what they want you to hear.
Absolutely, that's true. And there's a lot of other forces working there together as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we could, a lot of rabbit holes we could go down and discuss. You know, like things like you know, our environment being poisoned on purpose. Things like fluoride in the water. You know, that's a whole different story. And a lot of that comes into play and has a lot to do with that. But I think just the, you know, if you just simply look at our educational system today, it's not designed to educate people anymore. It's designed, it's really designed, like you said, to cause people to just accept what they're told by what now is our officials. You know, last week I made the comment again that. I forgot where I was. I was in a store or something like that, and I was talking to a lady, and, you know, she just made the comment, well, there's really nothing we can do. You know, there are public officials, and we just have to, you know, honor what they say. And I stopped, and I told her, I said, look, when I was a kid, they were not called officials. They were called public servants. And that whole paradigm has shifted now.
Yeah. Great
people,
point.
People don't believe anymore that these guys are there to work for us, you know, and that's what amazes me so much, is that people have just completely lost the grasp of who these people are supposed to be and what their job and responsibility is, you know. Thus, as American citizens, I mean, my gosh, our country has been usurped, it's been taken over, you know, by these criminals that they're here to do us harm. They're really here. In my opinion, to wipe out the majority of the middle class of this country and take over completely. That's my assessment of the entire end game, you know, so to speak, of that. So
The paradigmatic view that you mentioned here is very, very important, and really you have to understand it to be able to do your duty as an American citizen. You have to educate yourself on these matters because it's not just going to happen otherwise. And it goes back to, that's a very, very important point that you elucidate, that the difference between the connotation of what a public servant is as opposed to a public official, that is someone who is authoritative and you have to listen to what they say.
Right.
A public servant, on the other hand, well, that connotes that they're there to serve you. As we mentioned earlier, you know, a congressional representative is the representative of his congressional district.
Yep.
His constituents are his clients.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good ones out there.
There are.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they're all like this, because they're certainly not. There are a lot of good ones out there, but unfortunately the good ones are overrun, by the ones that are out to do the harm. And, I'm just happy to see that there are some good ones still out there that are, trying to fight the good fight for us. I'm happy to see guys like you, in our military, Brad, that are willing to, think outside the box and look at things differently and say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right, Because there's so many guys that don't do that, and that are just leading us right down the wrong path to destruction here. And, I think that in the end that most of the people will come around. They're going to be forced into it, I believe. But I think, people have just gotten so lazy. They don't want to stand up and take responsibility for things anymore. It's just a lot easier to say today, well, there's nothing we can do about it, than it is to get off your butt and try to make something happen. With this radio show that we're doing here, it costs us money to be on the air. We're putting money in out of our own pockets to do this, to try to talk to people, and try to give some information. We're spending our time. I'm spending time away from my family. Here it is the day after Christmas, and we're here trying to do the right thing for the people. And there's just so many people out there that just care less. And until it bites them in the butt, I'm just afraid to say that, many of them won't wake up, So, but it'll happen. It's going to happen eventually here because things are getting so out of control economically.
Yeah,
I think economically is what's going to wake up most of the people.
Unfortunately, a lot of people think only with their pockets.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but you're right. Some people are going to find themselves in the coming months or in the next year, however long it takes, they're going to find themselves at a crossroads where they're going to realize that things are not quite adding up. Something's wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
And hopefully maybe some of these messages that we've shared with them, that you shared with them over these weeks, will resonate strongly with them.
Right, sure. So, are you there, Justin?
Oh, yeah. Still here.
What do you think, man? We've been saying a lot here. We'd like some of your input.
Well, man, I just think everything. I think you're par for the course. Everything you're saying is right on. Both of you and Brad both, and I do believe that Americans will have to face the truth pretty, it's going to come, and it's going to happen pretty soon, too. A lot sooner than people think, but reality is going to slap every American in the face at some point here in the near future, I believe. And,
Brad was just mentioning that it's going to, unfortunately, people think with their pocketbooks, And I was just reading a report here. Listen to this. This is kind of near and dear to my heart because I'm from Detroit. This is a report that came out from the Associated Press about a week ago, and it's talking here. It says the jobless rate has climbed past 21% in the state of Michigan. Now, that is huge, a 21% jobless rate. You know how much damage that can do? I mean, the state up there has been hard hit already with a number of other things, but I think that's going to, help put the icing on the cake and put them under completely up there. And that is just going to continue to spread throughout the rest of the country. There's just no getting away from it. And once people are completely out of work and and don't have any income, I think you're going to see a big shift and a big change in this country.
Well, it will. It will. It'll. I think what it'll do, it'll shift us more towards a socialist environment. I mean, people, as people become poor, they will be more reliant on the government. It's well documented in numerous countries where that's happened. I mean, obviously, the breakdown of wealth in America will lead to dependency on the government. You can't get around it. And it's the plan. I mean, it's a blueprint. It's a blueprint of dependency.
Yeah, that's
what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want us, because see, if you have to rely on the government to put food on your table, then there's really nothing else that they can't do, you know, unfortunately. But that's the reality of the situation.
Well, you can't fight them in the future, and they know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I was talking earlier about our free enterprise system over here. And, you know, I made a comment to him that unfortunately we haven't been free, in this country for a long time. Not only, from a business point of view, but, just as you're, you know, just as a everyday citizen, you know, people have the idea in this country that they're free, but really, they're not when you look at the whole scope of things. I mean, thank God we can sit here, you know, on air today and talk about these things the way that we're able to do, which in many countries you can't do. You know, in a lot of countries you can't even go to certain websites on the internet, you know. So at least we still have that freedom to a certain degree, but, you know, the way that free speech zones have been set up all around the country, you know, during protests, and especially the way that our tax system, you know, just really rapes the people. That alone, to me, tells me that I'm not free any longer. You know, when somebody can stick their hand in my pocket and take 60% of the money that I have coming in, and I have no say-so over that, to me, that's not freedom. You know, when somebody tells me that I have to have their permission to drive on a road that I paid for, to me, that's not freedom. When somebody tells me that I have to have their permission or a license, so to speak, to marry somebody, you know, this is all about control. It's not about freedom at all. And unfortunately, our country has gotten so far away from the realm of freedom, but it's been so so incrementalized that people, they don't understand it and they don't see it. You know, the Great Commission that was put into effect, that Ronald Reagan put together to study where our tax money went, when that report was released, I mean, the people should have just went nuts. You know, but again, you just have this lackadaisical approach and attitude to everything today, because we have been so blessed in this country for so long, but I don't think we've been as blessed as our many of our forefathers were. You know,
right.
We haven't seen how good it can really be because we've been so busy focusing on what we think is good. You know, and when we focus on, all we can really do is focus on what we've seen to this point. But, I believe that what we haven't seen is a whole lot better. So,
well, it goes back to, I think Justin hit the nail on the head, you know, talking about dependency. It's true what you say, Martin, that they do want us to be dependent. Because if you are dependent, you are not free. When you're dependent, you are not a sovereign individual who can control his own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You can only, you know, there are limitations, there are very tight parameters placed on you and what you can and cannot do. And as long as you're dependent and you can't control yourself, then you're not going to be able to go outside of those parameters.
Yeah.
And I would say, and this is not me being an extremist by any means, this is being a realist and being educated and having an understanding. I would say that people right now, before it gets worse economically, they need to take a little bit of money need it, set it aside to start investing in things like storage of food, water, fuel, things of that nature, that while they have the money to be able to take a little bit of money and take some of these things. Because when you do that, when you have a little bit of storage of these basic necessities, what you're doing is you're making yourself more independent.
Yeah.
So that when things get really bad, you don't find yourself in a bad situation where you're dependent on other people, or worse, you're dependent on the government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you've got reports of 21% unemployment rates in areas, you know, this is exactly what we're going to see. You know, we're going to see bread lines again, I think, pretty soon. You know, it's, I think that's all coming down the road. It's already happening in a lot of areas. It's just that the mass media, again, covers a lot of this stuff up, and they don't want the people to know what's really happening out there, because if the people really knew you know, the bottom line of everything that was going on, I think all hell would break loose tomorrow.
Right.
So, what's you know, what's so amazing is how well they're able to cover it up. You know, a lot of these reports that I pull off of the news lines, you know, you put two or three of them together, and it just paints a picture of you know, complete economic fallout. So we're in bad shape. Dustin, I was at a party last night with a gentleman who was, he owns a company that, actually what they do is they source, products for all these, people in different countries, and he travels to Asia quite a bit. And he was telling me of the fallout that's happening right now in China, how extreme it is, and all the businesses that are failing and closing over there. So, a lot of these other areas are going right down with us, you know. So, and the way he put it was that we've got a tsunami heading back toward us from the tidal wave that we put out there. So, I think the people need to get ready, you know. The only one I want to be dependent on Brad is God himself, you know.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to be in a position where I have to ever depend on the government to take care of me or my family, you know. So. I'm trying to gear up for some of these things too, but hey, let's, you know, those of us out there that are Christians and also, you know, we know that God, caused manna to fall from the skies, you know, before, so, I believe he can do it again, but I do agree that people should start preparing and getting ready. There's nothing wrong with having food storage, there's nothing wrong with having, water stored up. I mean, these are just basic needs, and also it gives you the opportunity to help others as well. Because there's a lot of people out there that are not going to be prepared.
And speaking of it in that light, you're exactly right. And I think it's always incumbent that you help other people, even when those other people, through their own, you know, stubbornness or whatever, did not prepare adequately beforehand.
Sure.
You know, you're not the one who's going to judge them, and you should. If you're able, still try and help them out. I would say, though, that, you know, speaking of people being prepared, you're right. Looking to God, becoming spiritually prepared is necessary. People who perhaps have kind of gotten a little bit away from God need to kind of get themselves spiritually prepared now,
right,
so that they're prepared, because it's going to require a lot of spiritual and intestinal fortitude to make it through the trials at hand. Another thing I was going to say is that looking at it in that light, if you remember from the Old Testament stories, the dreams that Pharaoh had that Joseph of Egypt interpreted for him, you know, there was a dream that represented the 7 years of plenty followed by the 7 years, and there was going to be a drought.
Oh, yeah.
There was going to be, you know, no food.
Yeah.
And remember, that's why the Joseph later, his family, his father Jacob and his family, had to later go and try and find food.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you know, right now we are no longer the years of abundance and this nation are
over. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and you know, you're absolutely right there. The amazing thing about the Bible is all the wisdom and the pictures that it contains for us. For us of what's to come and what,
the,
you know,
the
what's
days
happened.
Of drought and famine are upon us now, unfortunately.
Absolutely, yeah. So get ready out there, people. Dustin, you got anything more to add before we leave the air here?
Do I have a minute or two to share a story with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make it real quick here. I was at a Christmas party the other night on Christmas Eve. And I kind of want to paint a picture real quick of the universal notion of freedom and how warped it is. Some of my family members and I were discussing politics and current events and things of that nature. And I brought up the name, well, we spoke about the election too, and when we were talking about the election, I brought up the name Ron Paul. And I'll tell you, three of my family members laughed at me and said that Ron Paul was a nut. And that's sad, because Ron Paul is marginalized by the media, by other politicians, and you know what? He is the one man that I thought that was running for office that would have truly ran this country the way it was supposed to be ran. He had an idea to run this country according to the Constitution and the values that our forefathers set for this country. And I just hate that he was looked at as a nut. I mean, a guy, a radical. And really, he was actually only wanting to implement policies on how this country should have been ran and how it should be ran.
He just wants to follow the Constitution. That's radical, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's radical to people.
You know?
And that's how warped the notion of freedom is in this country. And it's sad. It's really sad. And just being with my family there and having three people laugh at me made me realize, you know, that's probably the mindset of most Americans. They don't even understand freedom anymore. Americans don't understand what true freedom is anymore.
No, they don't. The same thing happened to me at the Christmas party I was at last night as well. Somebody, you know, I made a comment about Ron Paul, and the guy I was talking to, that he said the exact same thing. You know, he called him a nut or
a cougar.
An extreme radical, or, you know, and it's just amazing that, you know, a guy like him who wants to do nothing more than follow the Constitution, you know, is coined that way. You know, I find it just as amazing as you do, you know, and it's crazy that, but it shows you how brainwashed people are, you know. It shows you the effect that can happen to people, you know, that sit in front of the TV every day, that are exposed to one side of the story all the time, you know.
Yeah, what I would mention is that remember that, you know, Christ was also looked at as being a radical.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, was or an extremist.
Yep.
In the end, of course, you know, he was executed for that.
Sure.
Unfortunately, the days are here where those of us that consider ourselves to be constitutionalists or consider ourselves to follow the rules, if you will, we're the ones who are going to be labeled extremists. You look at Ron Paul, who is a statesman, pretty much the only one who is running in the midst of all these other politicians, and yet he's the one who is supposedly on the fringe.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, everyone else is outside of the rules, you know?
Yeah, right.
Or the Constitution.
Yeah, it's a bad scenario, Justin.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's we just have to keep plugging away at it and do our best to you know, to help educate the people out there. I think you know, some of them are coming around, but it's sad that so many of them are still in the dark about everything, you know?
Yeah.
But I think God used this to cleanse and purify a lot of things and to really, you know, wake a lot of people up, because people don't know what they've had and they don't know what they're losing, you know? And I'm sad to say that, but I think that's, you know, that's what's going to happen, is he's going to use this to the benefit of some of us, you know, as far as to get us back on track. But unfortunately, we're going to have to go through the fire for that to happen. So, but anyway, we're about out of time. Justin, thanks for calling in. Hopefully, if you're around next week, you can come in and be live on the air with us.
Absolutely.
And,
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
What's that? said, I believe Brad will be here next week with us again, too. He said he's going to be in town for another week. So,
okay.
You know, if all three of us can get next week, that would be awesome.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay. And, well, hey, happy holidays to you. And get in touch with us this week, and we'll pull everything together. To all the other people out there listening tonight, we're sorry about the technical difficulties we had, but we hope that a little piece of what we said has found its way into your mind, into your hearts, and that you can join with us and help support us in this movement to take our country back and to wake people up. So we'll see you next week. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next Friday night. Justin, thanks for calling in. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Night.